16-1873, again, Target Training v. Extended Disc North America. Whenever you're ready.
Your Honor, Target Training's...
Let me express a concern at the beginning about a statement that you make at page 11 of your brief. The district court here found that the old claims and the new claims were not substantially identical. And you say the only record evidence before the court was the declaration of TTI's technical expert who opined that the newly added claims were substantially identical to the original claims. I do not think that is an accurate representation of that declaration. Could you show me where in the declaration he renders such an opinion?
We were looking at paragraph 8, I believe, Your Honor. The independent claims.
Can you give me a page number?
I'm sorry, JA356.
Okay.
Of the 372 reexamination certificate, claims 12, 13, 14, et cetera, these claims include all of the limitations of the original claim 1 with additional clarification or where in clauses.
That is not a statement that they're substantially identical.
No, Your Honor, it does not say substantially identical.
Well, you shouldn't be citing it that's saying that when it doesn't say it. I mean, in fact, the claims are not substantially identical, right? I mean, I think it's important to address this point because it affects the rest of the case. They're not substantially identical.
Your Honor, I believe that there is evidence that they are substantially identical in the fact that what they are is the all of the information that's in there in light of, when you read it, in light of the claims, the specification, and the understanding of those skilled in the art, that information is within the original specification of the 372 patent.
But you haven't made any showing of substantially identicality, right?
At the stage of when this motion was filed, Your Honor, no, we did not file something going through that analysis.
Okay, well, let's assume that you didn't then make such a showing. The question is here what the district court should have done about the new claims. And I think you have a good argument that Fresenius doesn't say that you can't amend your infringement contentions to continue with the newly granted claims. But doesn't the district court have a lot of discretion as to whether to allow an amendment to bring in the new claims?
Your Honor, of course, the district court does have that discretion. But in this case, the court didn't even make the analysis with respect to that issue. The court simply said the initial claims were canceled. Therefore, under Fresenius, the case is dismissed as moot. So it was making a leap between Fresenius and the language there that said when all the claims are canceled, once that happens, the case is over and all be all, as opposed to
I think your problem is you didn't move to amend the infringement contentions. I guess you did in part of the motion to strike papers say that you wanted to do that, but why is it you didn't actually make a motion to amend the infringement contention?
So prior to actually stating that in the motion to strike papers, Your Honor, we had asked the court, As soon as we submitted the reexamination certificate, we had contacted the court and asked for a new scheduling order. The scheduling order that had been in play, obviously, was over, and so we had asked the court to set forth a new scheduling order. Immediately, actually even prior to that, days prior to that, the other side had filed their motion to dismiss, and so we had asked the court for a scheduling order. The court actually never ruled on that issue, and we had offered to amend our contentions in compliance with a scheduling order.
What does that mean? You offer? Is that in the? Is that there a document? You say you offered to amend.
In the motion to strike, we indicated that
What page is that on the part of the motion to strike?
Sure. JA 319, which I believe is actually our opposition. So at JA 319, we in the opposition to the motion for summary judgment and motion to dismiss, we indicated that we were willing to go ahead and to amend those claims if necessary at that stage.
Show us
it's a footnote. Footnote 1 at the bottom of page 2 of that motion.
Yeah, but that just says you're willing to do it. It's not a request to be allowed to do it.
Sure, and then in JA 181 to 182, we had requested the scheduling order in light of and indicated that in light of the...
As I understand your argument, and it's somewhat sympathetic actually, is that the trial court said even though their motion to dismiss was not compliant with the former scheduling order, the trial court found the scheduling order didn't exist.
Right.
And then the trial court wouldn't allow you to amend because he said you violated the scheduling order that he
Correct.
Already said didn't exist.
Correct.
And so, well, I think that is sympathetic because it's obvious that you could say that's an abuse of discretion to apply the old scheduling order to you and then to say the old scheduling order didn't exist with respect to their motion. Going back to Judge Dyke's original point, even if that was an abuse of discretion, don't you admit more than once in your papers, in those very papers you're talking about, that the new claims are narrower?
Which would go to the second point of my argument, Your Honor, which is the issue with respect to 252. Even if the court were to conclude that they are narrower, the language there is to suggest that, yes, they are not. We don't use the identical words, clearly, but we believe that within the specification it's there. But putting that aside, because there are newly amended claims that if you conclude they are narrower in scope, we are still entitled to proceed with the action under and go through the analysis of 252 with respect to their former, if they choose to plead the affirmative defense under 252.
I don't think you're entitled to go forward with the new claims. I think you are entitled to ask to go forward with the new claims, and the district court may or may not allow an amendment of the infringement contentions to go forward with the new claims. Do you disagree with that?
Yes, we are allowed to ask, and we did ask, and the court didn't
show me. Show me where. I mean, I'm still puzzling over this. Where in 151 is there such a request here?
So I'm sorry. It's JA 319 and JA 181 and 182.
So we're on 181 and 182.
So the last second full paragraph. Given the duration of the stay in this matter and the outcome of the reexamination proceedings, TTI respectfully requests a status conference with the court to discuss setting additional or modified deadlines. And then if you flip, to update contentions and expert reports with any associated additional discovery.
Okay, but that's short of being an actual request to amend the infringement contentions to allege infringement of the new claims. That's the problem I'm having, is that you know, there was nothing to prevent you from making a motion to amend the infringement contentions, was there?
We were trying to comply with the court scheduling order that wasn't in existence. We wanted a new scheduling order.
Answer my question. Was there anything that prevented you from making a motion to amend the infringement contentions?
I would say, Your Honor, just the fact that we were waiting on the court's response to our request for this conference to have a scheduling order in play.
So there wasn't any order of the court that prevented you from making such a motion?
No. And but the court didn't address the issue of additional contentions to say whether or not we had the right to amend them until the dismissal order, at which point, of course, the case was over.
And in the absence of a scheduling order, you didn't have a deadline for filing motions to amend.
Correct.
But which means you could have filed a motion but didn't.
Your Honor, we expected that the court was going to respond to the court never responded. It's not the court denied the scheduling order conference. It's the court didn't respond, and we were waiting on that response.
What do you want to happen here? I mean, the other case we ended up asking you, why don't you just file a new case? Why don't you just file a new case here? Is it the matter of having to do everything again? Is it because you're afraid of losing? Are you still think that you're entitled to a fight over whether or not there's substantial similarity or not?
We believe we are entitled to that fight. I'm not sure we couldn't make it in a second case. I'm not sure about that.
Well, as I recall, I may be confused with another case. I mean, they filed for summary judgment. The district court said you make this assertion about substantially similar, and you haven't put up any facts. I think your expert report just fell short. So if you didn't put out any facts to establish that there's a factual dispute, you lost on summary judgment.
Actually, in this case, the court didn't actually rule on summary judgment. The court ruled, I believe, that if I recall correctly, the court said that the summary judgment issue was moot in light of the fact that it was dismissing the case.
The court did rule that you had failed to establish substantial identicality.
Your Honor, I don't recall the court's statement with respect to that, but perhaps that is accurate.
It says on page 6 of the opinion, the record, however, does not contain any evidence that the claims are substantially identical to the original claims. TTI's conclusory statement that the claims may be identical is not sufficient.
I see that.
I'm sorry?
I said I see what you're pointing to, Your Honor. I'm not sure that is a final decision on the summary judgment issue, but certainly that is a statement that the court made in that decision. But the issue with respect to refiling is that we are going to be faced with the same exact fights we're facing now if the court does not. And my expectation is the other side isn't going to agree that all the discovery that was taken in that case comes forward, the Markman opinion comes forward, and all of that. So we are forced to restart a case that started back in 2010.
Are you asking for two alternatives here? One, that we would vacate and remand and send it back to the judge. You need to amend your complaint. So you're asking, I'm just trying to figure out what you're asking that we do, that we tell the judge to allow you to amend your complaint. Do you want us to ensure that you can revisit the question of substantial similarity or decide whether or not that issue has been properly disposed of and is over? Or are you willing to agree that that issue at least is over, so you just want us to vacate and remand for purposes of allowing you to file an amended complaint, but no issue, substantial similarity is a given, so you just proceed prospectively with regard to the new allegations?
Your Honor.
With respect to the new claims. Yeah.
With the new claims. Ideally, we would like the opportunity to go back and argue the substantial identity. If that is not acceptable, we're certainly are looking to at least have the ability to go back and proceed with amended invalidity contentions based on the new claims and to proceed forward there with the ability to use the continuing all of the discovery and rulings that have already taken place in that case.
Well, okay, but as I see it, the most we could do, I mean, there does seem to be a lot of oddities here with respect to what the district court did in terms of prohibiting from moving to amend. The most we could do is say, consider a motion to amend. But then the trial court would still have discretion whether to allow that. So we could be in exactly the same place. And does that, how does that help?
Well, I think it does help us, Your Honor, because I think the point is that the district court didn't even consider that issue in reality, because the court said Fresnius says canceled claims means no case. And so basing everything off of Fresnius, I think the court, that the this issue of intervening rights, 252, our ability to amend our infringement contentions, really wasn't a part of what the court was considering. I mean, as I read the court's order, and of course, it is certainly my view of the court's order, and the court may view differently, but if the decision was made, Fresnius says the case is moot because claims are canceled, and it doesn't matter that new claims.
The court said you can't move to amend because it was too late, and then ultimately said that means you're stuck with the original claims.
Claims, right.
Ergo, Fresnius
applies.
Okay.
We'd respectfully request... Oh, did you have a question, Your Honor?
No, I was going to ask you to sit down so we can hear from your colleague.
Thank you.
May it please the court, good morning. Steve Slather of Collins Edmonds, Slather and Tower for the Appley Extended Disc North America. Based on the undisputed facts in this case, the district court's decision to dismiss was both factually and legally correct and should be affirmed.
Well, let me talk about procedurally correct. I mean, you have a case that's closed. He didn't just stay the case, he closed the case, right?
Well, it was administratively closed.
Yeah,
pending
well, we
the
all know what district courts do. They claim it's administratively closed, and that way it gets reopened and comes right back to you and it gets off their report, but it's still closed. No matter what you call it, you have closed the case. You have nothing in place in terms of scheduling orders, because otherwise you both would have violated all the scheduling order, right?
Right. As the court found that the deadlines in the then pending scheduling order had long passed.
All right. So therefore, he said, for purpose of you being able to file a motion to dismiss or a motion for summary judgment, he said, therefore, you get to file whatever you want because there was no scheduling order, so you couldn't have violated it, right?
I don't know if he said we could file whatever we want, but he did not prohibit us from filing our
motion. And he said because there's no scheduling order that would have said you had to do it sooner.
Correct, Your Honor.
Right? But then he applied the old scheduling order to the other side to say they can't amend because it's too late.
I disagree with that on a couple of points. First, they never asked to amend. They never sought leave to amend.
We could debate whether the two places, one in where they asked for a scheduling conference so they could then come back, and where they mentioned in that motion that there were new claims, and whether when they responded to your motion for summary judgment, which they didn't think you could procedurally file, they said, well, if we're going to go forward this, judge, please allow us to amend our claims, because we all know it's the old claims are not issues we're supposed to be addressing right now, right?
Well, I think so. The procedurally, Aetna filed its motion. Shortly thereafter, TTI filed a notice, presumably notifying the court of the new claims and asking for a scheduling conference. That notice, it was a notice. It required no action by the court. But
it did in there both say we want to talk about the infringement contentions and the issue of intervening rights as well.
It did say that. Next, TTI filed a motion to strike. And there again, they asked for a scheduling conference. They never asked to amend their contentions.
They said they would be willing to amend their contentions if that was necessary, right?
They asked for a scheduling conference where that could be discussed.
So what do we have here in terms of the district court saying anything about a possible amendment? Did the district court say anything about that issue?
I don't believe it did, because TTI never asked. TTI never asked to amend, and so there was no reason for the court to address that.
Well, didn't the court specifically said you didn't amend your infringement contentions?
Ultimately, it did.
Right, that was the basis for its ruling, was that the infringement contentions weren't previously amended.
In part, that was the basis for its ruling.
Could you show me where this language is? Because my recollection of this is not that there was a ruling on it. Could you show me the language we're talking, that you and Judge O'Malley are talking about?
Which language specifically, Your Honor?
That's the problem. I don't,
okay.
The language where he says something about the failure to amend.
So, right. So in the court's...
is this on page 5 where he says, binds TTI to preliminary infringement contentions unless TTI seeks leave to amend?
Correct.
Is that what we're talking about?
I believe that's what we're talking about, Your Honor, yes.
But that doesn't seem to be a ruling on any request to amend. It seems to be a statement that there was no request to amend.
I agree. And that goes to my point, Your Honor, that TTI never made a request to amend. And that's really the crux of the issue, or at least one of the issues here, is that there was just never a request. There was never an opportunity for the district court to consider it and decide that issue one way or the other.
So why shouldn't we just vacate and remand, assuming, let's assume hypothetically, that we are prepared to agree that for purposes of intervening rights, the claims are substantially similar, or that summary judgment on that basis was appropriate. But why wouldn't we just remand it and let the court decide whether or not to amend the claims? And why is it not just more efficient? I mean, the court may have good reason not to, and that would be reviewed under abuse of discretion. But it seems to me it may be that rather than just getting a new suit filed, it would make sense to amend this, and the district court may conclude that. So why shouldn't we at least give that opportunity?
Well, because the TTI never asked for that relief, so it wasn't an error. There was no error at the district court, and so there's no basis to vacate or remand. The district court was correct in its decision, and there's just no basis for not affirming that.
Now, it's clear, is it not, that if we were to affirm this dismissal, it's without prejudice, so that there's nothing at all that would preclude their coming forward tomorrow and filing a new complaint based on the amended claims, right?
So obviously, for the original claims, they couldn't. Those are gone.
I said the amended claims. Yeah.
On the amended claims, certainly they can. They're free to file any case that they want.
Okay, because I got the impression from their side that they were worried that they would be precluded somehow by this dismissal from filing a case anew.
Well, I think there are significant issues of claim preclusion in this case.
So if they file a new suit, what you're saying is you're going to argue claim preclusion because of the dismissal here.
Correct.
That's the problem.
It is a problem for them, but it's a problem of their own making, largely.
Because they didn't move for leave.
Well, because their original claims were invalid, and because they then didn't ask the district court to allow them to amend their contentions to assert the new claims.
But why would there be preclusion? I mean, the other suit was on the original claims. Now they've got to re-examine newly minted claims.
So I think it was discussed a little bit earlier. It's based largely on the Sinju case.
That's when there was I think some of our discussion was, or at least we're all reading it. But assuming Sinju was based on a dismissal on the merits, this is not a dismissal on the merits, but on the merits of the former claims, not on the new claims. That's your whole point. They didn't amend it. The new claims, the newly minted claims, were not before the district court judge at all. So why would Sinju control?
Well, I believe in Sinju that those facts were similar, that the original case was decided, and then the plaintiff brought new claims based on newly added claims in a reexamination, and the court found that those new claims were precluded because they were subsumed by the claims in the original case.
Right, but the court had made substantive judgments as to infringement and validity on the original claims. Here, this court specifically said that it was simply dismissing the claim as moot.
That's correct. And so that would be an issue that we would have to work through going forward.
Well, how can it be that if there's a dismissal as mootness, that's a treated decision on the merits? I'm not aware of any res judicata case that suggests that.
I'm not arguing that here today. I'm saying...
I know you're not, but we're wondering whether you're going to be arguing a month from now.
We may be, and that case wasn't part of the decision below, and so we would have to see.
I think what we're looking for in order to lay our concerns is some statement on your part that a dismissal for mootness, which is what this is, wouldn't invoke the Sanju bar.
I don't know that that's the case, Your Honor. So I'm sorry, I cannot allay those concerns.
What you mean is we have to say it if that's what we think. We can't rely on you saying.
I cannot say that today. I'm sorry. I think if we look at the record here, the district court has the authority to enforce its own patent rules. This court in Karanos, for instance, found that the enforcement of local rules is reviewed for abuse of discretion.
And I thought you just said the judge didn't enforce those rules. I thought you just said that he viewed it as never having been asked of him.
I believe he enforced them to the extent that the claims before him, the claims that he based his decision on, were the asserted claims, which were 1, 2, and 5 through 11.
Oh, so your comments weren't dealing with the motion to amend, that he enforced the rules.
Well, there was no motion to amend, but they were not directed towards the new claims. They were directed towards the...
So here's the issue. The complaint generally alleges infringement of the patent. It doesn't specify every single claim. Then we have infringement contentions. So they later then assert infringement contentions. So when the judge said they didn't move to amend, it really wasn't the complaint that needed to be amended. It was only the infringement contentions, which were part of the original scheduling order, right?
The infringement contentions bound TTI to the specific claims that they disclosed as part of those, pursuant to
the rules. Still was broad enough to cover the new claims.
Possibly, depending on there were intervening federal rule changes, and so whether it would comply today.
Yeah, but there had not been a motion to dismiss on grounds that it wasn't specific enough.
No.
Right, so then that would have been your problem to ask the judge if you could move to dismiss the complaint. But you didn't move to dismiss the complaint based on its specificity.
Right, we moved to dismiss based on TTI's contentions that they were asserting only a certain subset of claims. Not necessarily
the
complaint
as a
whole.
But again, it wasn't in the complaint.
No, the complaint, I believe the complaint mentioned specifically claim one, but... even as Judge Miller, I believe, mentioned in his order, the complaint was broad enough to encompass additional claims.
So how would this work? If they had done what some of us think would have made life easier for all of us and they had filed, we're not talking then about a motion to amend the complaint. Would they have had to press a motion to amend the infringement contentions?
I think that's what they should have done here, and they just failed to do that.
And that's what the district court was referring to on page 5. It wasn't referring to a motion to amend the complaint. He said, unless TTI seeks leave of court to amend the contentions.
Correct. And they never moved to amend their contentions. And so as I read the judge's order, the only claims he saw as being before him at that time were the claims that TTI specifically asserted in its contentions, all of which had been canceled.
Okay.
time's almost up. Anything further?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just briefly, Your Honors, that is the concern that we have, as we have expected based on
that is prior. The concern, meaning the Senju concern.
The Senju concern that we're going to be faced with a whole new briefing, which will be, again, very likely, potentially before you, depending on who wins, presumptively it will come up either way, to say that there is claim preclusion and we can't bring that. And we think that in light of the scheduling order that wasn't in place and our request to have a scheduling order to amend our contentions compliant with the reexamination, we request that this court remand the case.
Thank you. We thank both sides and the cases are submitted.